A conservative think tank calls for changes to the state school board selection process. Governor Herbert is supporting new federal emissions standards, and LDS missionaries will now be tweeting instead of tracting. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Tuesday, June 25th. I'm Brian Grimmett. The conservative Sutherland Institute released a report yesterday weighing Utah's current method for selecting candidates to the state school board against possible alternatives. Some with the think tank say that despite widespread dissatisfaction with the current process, Utah lawmakers have been slow to agree on a new one. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
Ranking the different methods based on simplicity, transparency, and accountability to voters, Sutherland focused on four systems. The status quo, in which Utah's governor appoints a committee to recruit and vet potential candidates, a direct partisan election, a direct nonpartisan election, and a system in which the governor just appoints the state school board himself. Derek Monson is director of public policy for Sutherland Institute. He says lawmakers have considered all of these options. But based on the criteria, the current system is the worst.
Nobody likes it. Nobody really wants it that way. But we don't change anything. For an average Utahn, looking at that, that just screams out that we can't trust the system to fix things that are problems.
Those at Sutherland prefer partisan school board races. Monson argues political affiliation provides voters some information about the candidates and makes voters the primary decision makers. But Monson says his organization is being open-minded on this issue.
I think there's a lot of room there for a good compromise, a good hybrid solution that solves people's concerns about the current system if we can agree on what we're trying to accomplish.
Democratic Senator Pat Jones says partisan politics need to be left out of the state school board selection process. She says most voters just want to have as direct an impact on the process as possible.
Not to have some people screened and then sent to the governor's office, not to put a label or a political party at the end of someone's name, but to have real people who have been in the classroom, who understand education, and for voters to learn about those people and do their homework before voting.
Jones is a member of Utah's Education Task Force, which was created earlier this year to study future education policies. She says the group, made up of several state lawmakers, will likely consider this issue. The task force is scheduled to meet this Wednesday. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
Utah Governor Gary Herbert has come out in support of the new federal vehicle emissions and fuel standards known as Tier 3. They're designed to improve air quality and public health by reducing the sulfur content of gasoline and making cars more efficient. The governor's senior environmental advisor, Alan Matheson, says the Tier 3 standards would significantly reduce tailpipe emissions, the biggest contributor to pollution in Utah's valleys.
The Division of Air Quality has been exploring hundreds of strategies to reduce pollution and determined that the proposed Tier 3 vehicle and fuel standards are among the most effective options available. We think that it's a way to address the unique challenges here in our valleys in a cost-effective way.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency estimates that the cost to consumers will be about a cent more per gallon of gas and an extra $130 to $150 for a new car. Matheson says the increased costs to consumers are offset by the benefits to the populace and improved air quality. The EPA is taking public comment on the new standards until July 1st.
Missionaries for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have traditionally spent much of their time doing what's called tracting, or going from door to door. Their use of email has been limited to a message home each week. But new mission presidents and others were told during a meeting at Brigham Young University on Sunday they'll now be able to use social media such as Facebook and text messaging to reach out to potential converts. Elder L. Tom Perry of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles also said missionaries will be using the church's meeting houses as a new resource.
One complaint we often receive from those who are interested in the church is they build up courage to stop by one of our buildings only to find it locked and empty. So we have also decided to open our meeting houses to guided tours. The missionaries will be at the meeting house to greet interested individuals and guide them through our houses of worship.
At first, only missionaries in North America will be using the internet resources in their work, and tools such as iPads and laptops will belong to the church. The church has expanded its worldwide missionary force by more than 12,000 after last year's announcement that men are eligible to serve at age 18 and women at 19. It expects to have 85,000 missionaries in service by the end of this year.
The University of Utah has named a new dean and director of the J. Willard Marriott Library. Alberta Comer will replace Joyce Ogburn as dean and university librarian. KUER's Nicole Nixon has more.
It's quite a job overseeing the Marriott Library. It's the largest state-funded academic library in the Intermountain West, and it holds more than 3 million books and thousands of digital books, articles, photographs, and recordings. Michael Hardman is the interim senior vice president of academic affairs at the University of Utah. He says that Comer is already skilled and experienced in leading libraries.
As a leader, she is going to enhance the connection to students and the building of relationships. She will be very, very engaged with students. She'll be very, very visible and accessible as our university librarian.
Hardman also says Comer is collaborative with faculty and student-centered, which is important since the library is a gathering place for students on campus.
The library has transformed into a go-to place on the campus, not only for study purposes, but for student gathering, interaction, opportunities to really be a part of campus life.
Comer comes from Indiana State University, where she served as the Dean and Associate Dean of Library Services at the Cunningham Memorial Library. She begins her new job on August 19th, a week before fall semester at the U begins. Nicole Nixon, KUER News.
The executive director of the Utah Department of Human Services announced his retirement yesterday. Palmer DePaulis ends a 30-year public service career that began as public works director for Salt Lake City. Liz Sullis of the DHS says DePaulis created the department's current system of care. She says it's a holistic, preventative approach to getting families connected to the services they need.
So we want to make sure that all of the agencies are working together so there's one point of contact and those children and families can get those services that are culturally responsive and most beneficial for them.
Sulla says employees will miss DePaulis' passion for people, the people they serve, as well as for the 4,000 people doing the serving. She says a nationwide search will be seeking a replacement as the same things in their heart as DePaulis. DePaulis will head DHS until Governor Herbert names a replacement.
Two local prosecutors are offering convicted businessman Mark Sessinge Jensen immunity in exchange for any information he can provide about former Attorney General Mark Shurtleff and current Attorney General John Swallow. In addition to information about Swallow and Shurtleff, the agreement also lists four others, including the Chief Deputy Attorney General and the Criminal Division Chief. Salt Lake District Attorney Sim Gill said in a recent press release that the names in the agreement were specified by Jensen and his attorneys. He says it does not mean that all the names on the list are suspects or targets of their investigation. Separate from an ongoing federal investigation, Gill and Davis County Attorney Troy Rawlings are also looking into allegations made against Swallow. The scope of their investigation is to see if he broke any state laws. Swallow continues to deny any wrongdoing and insists that all the investigations into his actions will only prove his innocence. Four men are suing the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the Boy Scouts of America in federal court, saying they were sexually abused while attending scouting functions in Idaho. Three of the men say they were in troops sponsored by the LDS Church. The fourth says he was in a troop sponsored by the Elks Club in Lewiston, Idaho. The state of Utah is giving out $1.3 million in grants to counties across the state to prevent the spread of invasive weeds. The Utah Department of Agriculture and Food says the grants will bankroll 41 projects. State officials say controlling invasive weeds helps prevent wildfires. The operator of the Navajo Generating Station near Page, Arizona, is asking for more time to comply with federal air quality regulations. The Environmental Protection Agency wants to reduce nitrogen oxide emissions from the plant by 84% over the next 10 years. EPA says that would mean improved air quality and less haze over the Grand Canyon. And finally, more than 80 of the nation's top political cartoonists will gather in Salt Lake City this week for workshops and brainstorming sessions. They'll cap off the event with the so-called Death Match at a Cartoons and Cocktails fundraiser at the Little America Hotel Saturday night. Many of the events are open to the public. And that is your KUER News Pod for Tuesday, June 25th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.